Hello and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Courtney Vian, a senior editor with the Journal of Accountancy. Today I have with me Jerry Herder, CPA, a retired partner from the firm HMWC CPAs and Business Advisors, which is located in Orange County, California. And Jerry is going to tell us about a unique tradition that his firm has taken part in for the last 40 years. It's called the Annual Death March. So every year, employees of the firm, along with their families and sometimes even clients, go on an overnight wilderness excursion. And the trips have ranged from rugged hikes in the backcountry to whitewater rafting to glamping trips in Yosemite. They've gone to the Grand Canyon, Hawaii, Banff National Park in Canada, Sequoia National Park, and much more. These trips have proven a bonding experience for the firm, and Jerry's written a book about them called From Ledgers to Ledges, Four Decades of Team-Building Adventures in America's West. He is going to tell us all about it, but first, please listen to this message from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
Welcome, Jerry. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you, Courtney. I look forward to talking with you.
So can you tell me a little bit about HWMC?
Sure. We are celebrating this year 50 years in business as a CPA firm, and the firm goes back to 1968. Our founder, Robert Sturman, headed west from New York. He was an entrepreneur and had a very adventurous spirit. And 10 years later, I headed west from Chicago, and we both kind of following that famous newsman, Horace Greeley, who said, go west, young man, and grow up with the country. And so the firm got its start in Orange County, California. We set up a cradle-to-grave service with a medical billing company, group purchase company, medical consulting. And with all that, our firm continued to grow and prosper till today, going back from 1977, when I started, we're 9 people, 3 partners, 2 accountants, 2 bookkeepers, and 2 admin. Today, we're around 85 people and growing, and with our affiliates, close to 100. So it's been an exciting journey, and the Death March has been a special tradition that's followed us for the last 40 years.
So what is the Death March? Tell me about it.
Okay. The Death March is a, generally it's an extended weekend for 3 or 4 days where we go out to some spectacular scenic attraction, whether in the mountains or canyons, the ocean, areas like that, to spend time with our colleagues, taking in the magnificent scenery and nature that we have while also bonding and getting to know each other better. We've, like I say, we've been doing that for almost 40 years. And as you mentioned, gone to some beautiful places, a lot of national parks, Yosemite, Crater Lake this last year, Channel Islands out on a ship, horsepacking into the northern reaches of Yosemite, and we've rafted 5 or 6 rivers, the King, Kern, Tuolumne, Rogue Rivers, along with through the Grand Canyon on the mighty Colorado. So we've had quite a diversity of trips, with each one with their unique challenges and benefits. And we opened this up to just about anyone who's willing to go out, get away from the big city, get out of their car, and see what they can do on their own 2 feet. And so it's started out with just a few of us, adding employees, family, friends, and clients, as you mentioned. So it's been a longstanding tradition that hopefully will continue for many years to come.
How did you get started doing this?
Well, when my wife and I moved out here at the end of 77, you know, it was just a couple months in February when Chicago, my home, was probably the worst month of the winter with the cold and snow. And I was newly acquainted with California. One day at lunch in February, went out and saw the bright sunshine gleaming off the white snow-capped mountains and thought I had died and gone to heaven. And that summer, we were driving up the east side of the Sierra Nevada mountains toward Yosemite, and I saw Mount Whitney, the tallest mountain in the southern 48 states, and said, gee, wouldn't it be great to be on top of Mount Whitney? And back at the office, one of the partners and one of my colleagues said, you know, let's do that. And not knowing what we're up to, we just blithely went out and started hiking Mount Whitney. We knew nothing about backpacking, nothing about hiking in high altitudes, terribly out of shape. And what was to be a 20-mile hike to the top of Mount Whitney turned into a 45-mile death march as we hiked out to the trailhead, almost half dead and never having made it to the top of the mountain. Swore we would never do that again. Well, several months later, you know how the mind works, and we had forgotten all the bad stuff and just remembered this spectacular sense of being in the wilderness with these majestic mountains. And right then and there started to plan the second annual death march. And it got going from there.
Yeah. So you've had a lot of exciting things happen on these trips. Can you tell me about some of them?
Yes. One night we're sitting around the campfire telling stories, as is often the case. And, you know, when you go on these hikes, you wear these very tough hiking boots that really protect your feet and allow you to go over rough country. But once you get into camp, you're just ready to take those boots off and rest your feet. And so everyone would bring either slippers or sneakers to put on. So we're all sitting around the campfire in our slippers and sneakers. And someone runs into camp. Says, you know, I just saw a bear outside of camp. And one of the highlights of these trips is seeing wildlife. And you always want to take advantage of when the opportunity arises, because you never know when it will. And so everyone jumped up and raced out of camp to see this bear. And unfortunately, we missed it. It had gotten away. But on the way back, one of our staff, Julia, in her slippers, trips on a rock and badly sprains her ankle. And she couldn't walk. Here we are, 13 miles from civilization. So we put her in a stream, ice cold water to help with the swelling, and then put her to bed. And the next day, a ranger comes up and looks her over, and he says, "Well, normally in a situation like this, we call in for a horse to take the person out on horseback. And in this situation, I'm afraid that would be much too painful going over the rocky terrain. So I'm going to call in the rescue helicopter to take Julia out." And Yosemite has this helicopter, and it flies around, and whatever is the most urgent emergency, it deals with. So we had to wait a while, but near camp, there was a broad, flat outcropping of a rock face, and we all cobbled together a stretcher and got Julia up there, and the helicopter was able to come in and land on this broad rock face, blowing dust all over the place as it did, but came down, and we brought Julie up and put her on the helicopter, and it starts the lift off and goes about 3 feet and then comes on back down. It was too heavy. So one of the paramedics had to hop off, and then they could take off and manage to get out of there and get Julia back to the hospital. But that was probably the most dramatic situation we ran into. But on a different vein, another year we were horsepacking into Virginia Lakes on the north end, north of Yosemite. And it's pretty remote in the wilderness, and it took us a day to get in there. And I'm out ahead of my friends, and I see a a bunch of boulders stacked up in kind of another outcrop about 50 yards ahead. And I thought, gee, it'd be great to climb on top of that and take in the view. And I start heading up there, and all of a sudden I see some movement between the boulders, and it's a mountain lion. And I froze. And the last thing I was expecting out there, again, in the middle of nowhere, and he slipped between the boulders, and I just slowly walked backwards a few steps, keeping my eyes peeled, and a few more steps, and then I turned and ran. Got back to my two friends.
Oh, man.
And as soon as I told them what I had seen, they didn't ask questions. They turned around and ran, and we all got out of there. I'm pleased to say the mountain lion fortunately had other things in his mind, so we got away. And but that provided good storytelling that night at the campfire. And so those are a couple of the more dramatic events that have happened among many wonderful times we've had up in the mountains.
Did Julie ever go back on another hike with you guys?
She did. She was quite a trooper, and she's, you know, she's been on about a half a dozen of these, you know, it takes a certain spirit. When you're out on the trail, you know, it's just your 2 feet and what you carry on your back often, and so it's a good test of a person's willpower and persistence, and a way to develop confidence, and also being able to count on your fellow human beings to take care of you when things go wrong.
And you've had multiple generations come out on the trail with you, haven't you?
We have. Starting, you know, over 40 years, people grow and have families. And on one of our early marches, my colleague Steve and I are kind of the ringleaders of the Death March. We've been partners together for these past 40 years. And he had a 5-year-old son, Scott, who the first time we tackled Yosemite came along with us, and Dad had to pull him along quite a bit of the way. But he made it, and he was with us for many death marches after that, and till just a few years ago, he came along with his 5-year-old son, and that kind of capped a generation. And beyond that, his sister topped that, bringing her 6-month-old child daughter with her, which her grandpa Steve carried on his back. So, and then along with that, great grandpa Don, Steve's father-in-law and wife, have been with us a number of times. And so we've got quite a variety, and that is part of our firm spirit, is the family tradition. We try to involve everyone, realizing, you know, there's more to an accounting firm than just taxes and audits. There are a lot of different people, and each one has a family that's important to them. And the Death March gives us a chance to get to know each other and each other's families, and helps develop bonds and a sense of camaraderie as we go along.
So what are some ways it has contributed to your firm's culture?
On our first death march, you know, I mentioned we're totally out of shape, didn't know what we're doing. It's important to be prepared. If you're going to start a new endeavor, do your homework. And yeah, we learned the hard way that you need to do that. The second year, we went back to the High Sierra, but we went in June, and realized after it was too late that June is too early for the High Sierra. We got up to the top, and it was covered with ice and snow, and there just wasn't too far we could go, and not a whole lot to see. And so we learned, you know, it pays to do your research. Take the time and really look at all angles before you proceed on a new adventure. The third year, we did the same thing, but went a month later, and it made all the difference. We're having such a great time. We went 3 miles out of our way before we realized we were off the trail. And we learned that year that, you know, it pays to have a good plan, good maps. And in a, if you're executing a business plan or starting up a new division, you want a good map, a good plan that's detailed and that you pay attention to.
Why do you think it's important to get outside the office environment every so often?
Now, we always, you know, when people think about accountants, they're pretty logical and, you know, we don't think of us as being creative, but I don't think that's a fair assessment. Our founder, Bob Sturman, he just lived for the tax law. And when a new law would come out, his eyes would just light up and you could see the wheels turning as he was devising ways and strategies to help his clients work with that tax law and make it come out the best for their situation. And so for accountants, you know, we've always got stuff to do at the office. There's always one thing or another. So it's getting out of the office, up into the mountains or the canyons. You have time, you're on the trail, and your mind can be free. It's freed up of all the stresses of the office. And that's when often, you know, ideas come, the mind clears, or you may have had something you're trying to figure out at the office that just wasn't working. And just with your mind doing different things out on the trail, taking in the scenery, you'll have these aha moments. So that's another way that's helpful, whatever you're doing, to take time to get away from the busyness, to let the mind be creative.
Now, you said in some of these camps that you went to, there were, you know, no bathrooms or no showers. Did you ever find it awkward to be interacting with your coworkers in an environment like that?
You know, you would think so, because as I mentioned, we do have different personalities, and it seems like certain types mesh together better than others. And you may find yourself at the office gravitating more towards those that are easier to get along with. And yet, to be most successful, we need to learn to relate to each other. And that's what I found on our death marches, that it's, you get on the trail, maybe even someone at the office that you've had difficulty working with, and the two of you are walking along, and it's just a totally different scenario that, you know, you're not trying to impress anyone with your business acumen, and you get to know people. We have this young fellow, a computer technician, Tristan, and he just comes, you know, if your Excel isn't working or something, he'll come around and fix it, and that's great. But at the office, I've just seen him as kind of a necessary person to get something, get a job done. But I didn't really know Tristan. But this last year, he decided to come on our death march to Crater Lake, and walking along with Tristan, and I just discovered, gee, Tristan has a wonderful personality. He's got goals in life and enjoys doing different things. And, you know, I started to look at him in a totally different way and realize that, you know, each one of us is important. I know one time a pastor of mine had a benediction, and included in that with a number of things was honor all persons. And I like to keep that with me, that, you know, each one is a unique individual with a fascinating story. And, you know, even in this day and age when we're so polarized with our politics, and we can hardly look some people in the face who disagree with us, but getting beyond all that, and especially when you're out on the trail, you do get beyond, and you're just enjoying nature together and this beautiful creation, and it makes a quite a difference.
It sounds like this is an incredibly valuable experience for your firm. What advice would you give to other firms or other companies that want to institute a tradition or want to help build their teams?
I'd certainly recommend it. Traditions are, I think, are very valuable. And I'd say the first thing, whatever you choose, you need a champion. You need someone who's passionate about an idea or and who's, you know, willing to take the time to devote to it. So that will enable it to get going and to be sustained. And then pick something. For us, these death marches and trips to scenic places of scenic beauty is a natural because we're right here in the heart of the gorgeous country in California. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be, a lot of folks are into various sports. Sporting traditions are great, like whether it's golf or 10Ks, running. You can develop a tradition around that. Charities. Our firm, I know, is doing a lot more of charitable work and have set up traditions around that. We support a homeless shelter called Family Promise, and we have 13 congregations that each take a week a quarter, and we provide housing and food. So the idea of an activity, not just say giving money, but rolling up our sleeves and doing the work to help others, and that can be a very meaningful tradition as well. And another tradition my firm has that's kind of fun, it's what we call our annual firm breakfast. Years ago, it's like a state of the firm report. After the busy season's over and we're trying to take a deep breath, we take the whole firm and their families out for us again to a nice place nearby, which is Disneyland. Spend the weekend at Disneyland at the Grand Californian Hotel, having a good time. And one of the mornings, we have our annual breakfast where the partners and managers give a report on how is the firm doing and what are our plans for the future. And it's been a great fun because we've had the managers of each department give a report on their department, and kind of a friendly competition has developed among them to try to outdo each other in giving the most entertaining presentation of how their department is done. You know, some use games or quizzes or questions. And so it's really gotten a spirit of, enjoyable involvement. And along the way, it's helping us, our managers, get some experience in public speaking as well and honing their skills. So again, another fun tradition. So finding something that would have appeal to the firm and its place wherever you're at, I think is a key. And if it's something a little different, then the firm can stand out. We always enjoy putting out a press release each year of our death march and the results, and get some very interesting responses from clients and friends, and so that's very helpful.
Now, not everybody in your firm obviously is going to participate in the death march. Is there a way you ensure that people who don't go still feel included?
Yes, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought so much about, but I think it comes back to flexibility, which is another very important value, I would say, for our firm. But we realize on the death march, while it's something we encourage folks to go to and we welcome them, it's not for everyone. And it shouldn't be a detraction from their advancement in any way. But we realize there are different things that get the blood flowing of different people. And we like to encourage them to seek that out. For instance, my partner, Susan, who I hired 25 years ago and has been a wonderful colleague, and yet she just can't see herself on a death march. But Susan is an actress, and along with being a expert accountant, she has starring roles in community theater productions from time to time, and that's her outlet. That's her way of expressing herself and using her creativity and getting out of her accounting persona for a while. And so there are other things that way, and we try to lift those up. And there is something to be said for trying to do our best to recognize individuals for the special qualities that they bring, each of us. I've really had a very good run and a good group of people to work with, and I hope others can have a similar benefit.
Once again, that was Jerry Herter from HMWC CPAs and Business Advisors. And the title of his book is From Ledgers to Ledges, Four Decades of Team Building Adventures in America's West. I'm Courtney Vian, and this has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.